Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode was recorded live at the Manor Vale Lodge. Conversations on Dance at the Vale Dance Festival is generously underwritten by the Town of Vale. I'm Rebecca King Ferraro.
And I'm Michael Sean Breeden, and you're listening to Conversations on Dance.
Hi, everyone. Wow, it was another spectacular year at the Vale Dance Festival, and it just wrapped up. We had such a great time being back together in the mountains, watching exceptional dance, and interviewing festival artists to get a deeper look at their history and process while they were at the festival. So thank you to Damian Wetzel and Heather Watts for putting together another great year of dance. We hope that if you were in Vail in person, that you enjoyed your experience. And if you weren't able to be there, we hope that you were following along with us here on Conversations on Dance. If you missed any of the episodes, they are all available now on our feed that you can find through your favorite podcast app. You can also browse them all on our website, conversationsondancepod.com, P-O-D.com. Unfortunately, Michael and I couldn't be in Vail for the very last day of performances, so we had our friend and audience fave, Kate Penner, hop on the mic for this episode with Nell Shelby and Christopher Duggan. Hear them chat about how they all work together each year to bring festival happenings to everyone through film and photos. So don't miss the stream of the final performance of the festival, now premieres. It's now available in its entirety. It was live streamed by Nell and her team. So visit vailedance.org to watch now, or you can click the link in the show notes. Before we get started, if you're new to Conversations on Dance, welcome. We are so happy to have you here with us. We hope that you will subscribe to the pod and leave us a review wherever you listen. All right, Kate, take it away.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Conversations on Dance here live at the Vail Dance Festival. My name is Kate Penner, and I'm this morning's host, and I'm here with two of our wonderful team members, Nell Shelby, our videographer, and Christopher Duggan, our festival photographer. We're thrilled to have them here, and I know that so many people who are not able to join us live are able to experience so much of the festival by being online, so let's dive right in, shall we?
Sure.
Okay, so my first question to you is, how did you first get involved in the world of dance?
Oh,
no,
wow.
Why don't you start?
Okay. So I was one of those dancers or young children that started dance at 3 years old. And tap, jazz, ballet, all the things at what I call Dolly Dinkle School of Dance. And just continued to dance my whole childhood and did musical theater and sang and then ended up going to school for dance and got a BFA in dance. Previous to that, which I actually just heard the other day that one of the first performances here in Vail before the dance festival was here was Up With People. And it was like in a tent year. And I heard, I think the mayor say that. I performed with people around the world when I was 19, and then I ended up going to school and got a BFA in dance and a BS in broadcast video, Bachelor's of Science. And that's, so dance has just really been in my life, you know, forever. And it's just a big, it's just been a big part of who I am.
So it goes way back for you. Christopher, where and when did you get connected to the world of dance?
Growing up, my parents loved going to the theater, so I was exposed to a lot as a kid. And then in college, I was in the theater program. I was never a dancer, but I studied theater in school, and the theater and dance were in the same department, so I was exposed there too. But it was really like when I moved to New York City and I was really interested in African drumming, I started taking drum class, and the rhythms from Guinea and West Africa and the drums and the dance are so intertwined that it's really kind of almost the same. And so like 10 years of really intensely playing drums and several trips to West Africa for study gave me my training and probably ear for musicality and listening, you know, to the dance. But I tell people that the secret to becoming a dance photographer is to marry Nell Shelby.
So you were leading right into my next question, which is, when you first started out with videography, was your initial intent to be filming dance?
Definitely. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you almost don't realize how you make decisions. Like, I knew that I wanted to get a BFA in dance. It had just been a part of my life, and that seemed like the right fit. So when I went to a school, a small women's college in Missouri that had a really good dance department, and then, like, before I knew it, I'm majoring in broadcast. And I'm like, I even say to my mom, I'm like, do you remember why I made that decision? Like,
it's been lost to the sands of time.
It totally has. And so I did major in broadcast. I have always loved film. I've always loved video. And I've always loved TV, you know? So I thought I was going to be in front of the camera. And so that was pretty much, like, I combined the two together. I thought I was completely brilliant by combining broadcast video and dance together. And I'm in the middle of Missouri, so I'm thinking, nobody else does this. Like, I'm the only one. And my best friend, who now works on The Bachelor in Los Angeles, she majored in dance and broadcast video. So we thought we were both brilliant. And then it wasn't until I went to Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival as an intern right after I graduated from college that I realized that there is a world of dance and video. And so that was my biggest introduction to it, of like, oh, this exists. And that's how I put the two together. And then it just has continued. It's just, that's kind of, so it was from the beginning, really.
Amazing.
College. Yeah.
Chris, was it from the beginning for you? How did you start in photography? And was it initially sort of focused towards dance?
It was not focused towards dance. Again, like, it wasn't until I started dating Nell that I got exposed to, you know, the possibility of photographing dance. And I do a lot of weddings and events. And at the time, I was thinking I wanted to photograph weddings. And Nell also was a Pilates instructor many years ago and introduced me to one of her Pilates colleagues who needed some portraits. And at the time, I had rented a digital camera for the weekend for this portrait shoot. And it just so happened that Nell had a shoot to go to. And I said, I've got this camera. Do you think the choreographer would let me come and shoot some pictures? And so they did, and I got this one photo that I was just like, wow, you know, like, oh my God. And that was like the spark that I was like, maybe I could do this. This is really exciting. Like, it was so, like, fulfilling. And so that was kind of the way that I got started. And it was a couple years later that Nell was working at Jacob's Hill Dance Festival, and they hired me to shoot some cocktail parties and the gala as an event photographer. And they were like, well, you can shoot the dance stuff too, but at the time, like, the New York Times and the Boston Globe were still sending their own photographers, so they didn't really need dance photography, even though they're a dance festival. That's how I kind of, like, cut my teeth, so to speak, by, like, practicing on shooting a lot of dance at Jacob's Pillow.
That's fantastic. I really like how you're talking about moments of spontaneity, both of you, where it's not necessarily your intention that you're going to merge dance with these two fields. And I think one of my questions is, dance is, at least inside the dance world, people often feel like, you know, video and photography are very challenging art forms to mix with dance, but in the 21st century, it's extremely critical for dance to be photographed and videoed. And I was wondering, what are some of the ways that you sort of make sure that your own creative voice shines, but that you also honor mm-hmm. the people whose work that you're featuring mm-hmm. in your own medium? Chris, do you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, I do, like I said, I do a lot of weddings, and I kind of approach weddings and dance in the same kind of way. Like, I want the spirit and the essence and the atmosphere of the family and the couple at a wedding to really shine through. And when I'm photographing a performance, I want the choreographer's vision and point of view and beauty and the dancer's expression to really kind of come through. So, like, I'm not there to, you know, win some photo contest with my artistic creation, so to speak. Like, I really want to kind of hone in and onto the essence of, like, the work, you know. And then I get to do, like, dance portraits and stuff with dancers also, and that's where I really kind of feel like I can bring my voice, like, even more. So I kind of feel like honing in on that real kind of, like, human expression is really what excites me.
Mm. You can definitely see that in your work too.
Yeah, for sure. So my background is definitely much more like what you would say, like, documentation. So that's really how I started my career at Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival, is we were documenting the whole festival. So the difference I feel with documentation is really you're just filming what is there. Like, you are not making your own thing. And so that's like where I began. So I feel like the way that I work with artists is really to not make my own thing, pretty much like what Christopher's saying. That's not my intention ever. When I'm filming the work, I want to make sure that I'm capturing, like, what is on stage and really trying to give that essence on video, which of course people would, like, battle with me and just be like, but they're such different mediums. Like, there's no way that you can try to get what they're actually doing on video. So I will say, as a side note, I've had a lot of therapy in my office over the years with choreographers. I sometimes, like, call myself a videographer/therapist because I'll sit there and these choreographers will just be like, this is not my work shouldn't be on video. That's not where it belongs, and that kind of thing. But I really do try to collaborate with the artist in the sense that I'm just setting them at ease of, like, I'm not trying to do my own thing. And then if we are trying to do our own thing, we'll do, you know, if we're making a dance film or something like that, then that's a different kind of collaboration. So I hope that answers your question.
It absolutely does. Okay. I do want to pull the curtain back a little bit and give some context to that question, is in the sense that a lot of people who are making dance, a lot of people who are dance artists are really trained in a live medium. Yeah. You're trained to perform to people who are in the room with you, like right now. And as you're developing your training and as you're getting a sense of different works, you're never thinking about what does this look like on video. And then to suddenly be sitting across from a videographer or even looking at photos, you're like, all I have to anchor myself in that moment is what it feels like or what I thought it would look like live in the space. And so mm-hmm. I can imagine with both of you, there's often, like, a lot of friction sometimes, but with people who are like, yeah. I've never thought about, you know, is this a faithful representation of you know, what I'm trying to achieve and how you might be mitigating that and managing people's concerns.
Yeah, I would say the turning point was COVID. Because then everyone had to pay attention to us, because that's the only way that they could get their work seen, is able to actually, like, laughing back there. It was on my team, because then they had to be like, whoa, I need to see what my work looks like on video. And they're looking at the screen with me, like, when we're in the theater, because we were filming a lot in the theater without an audience to be able to capture that work. And so that actually was very helpful to my career, honestly, because then it set a lot of artists, choreographers at ease.
To be more comfortable presenting the work digitally.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to sort of zoom in on what a day in your life is like here at the festival. Chris, you can get as technical as you like, but what does it look like for you to prepare? What are you doing during the day? Share with our audience sort of how are you managing all of your equipment and what does your day look like prior to a show?
I mean, the day starts very early in the morning with a text from my assistant in Atlanta with a little done exclamation point, because every night after the show, I work my photos, and by about midnight, I send them to Atlanta for her to cut them down to size, pick 50 selects, do some color correction, turn them around, and send them back to me. So it starts with a, hopefully I wake up to a text, and so far, 9 days in a row, I've got that text. Then I sit down at the computer for an hour and, you know, import those photos back into my computer, rename them, organize them, tag them, export them to a couple of different folders, and then upload them to the marketing department. We use SharePoint for foldering and stuff. Some breakfast, some kid time, and then looking at my schedule to see what's going on. Sometimes I come here to photograph the Conversations on Dance. There's master classes, a couple, I think, every morning. There's other kinds of events. Like yesterday, we had Aji Sissoko did an open house. I went to and photographed that. There's rehearsals in multiple locations all day long. There's two tents. There's two studios at VMS. There's also a theater at VMS. And there's the stage at the Gerald R. Ford. So there's multiple. And I'm not on everything. There's another photographer, Chris Kendig, that's photographing events and master classes and rehearsals as well, but I'm going to, you know, the marketing department is picking different ones for me to go to make photographs of. If I have a gap in between, then I'm back to my apartment to download and get those pictures on the computer so, again, I can turn them back around, and then getting ready for the show, you know, and shoot the show live, scoot home after the show to download and preview and upload and work those 1,500 photos that I just took at the show, sometimes more. I have a photographer friend in the back who shoots the shows also, Chris Schoenwald. Stand online and get some food, hopefully, bring it back to the apartment and get those pictures out. And every night, you know, I'm getting all the pictures that we shot all day long, and that's somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 pictures, again, to my assistant in Atlanta so she can help get those polished and ready for, you know, they're, once I deliver in the morning, like, they're done. Like, all the pictures are there, they're ready for use, and, like, yesterday is over, and now I can just focus on today.
I think every time I talk to someone about what's happening with our digital media at the festival, it's, like, shocking to them that it's that many photos, yeah, that much video. Nell, can you talk to us a little bit about what a day in your life is like? Because I think a lot of people are most familiar with the sort of sizzle and highlight reels that come from the individual performances. But could you shed a little light on what's happening during your day before a show in the evening?
Yeah, it's so we bring a lot of equipment from New York City. And we bring three cameras and tons of sound equipment. And I have to rent, I rent two iMac computers. We set up a little studio in our condo. We have four computers. You should all see it. It's just like a very exciting dining room table. And so mainly we've already talked about, like, with you and Kristen on the marketing team and Damien about the films that we're going to make. So I'm producing 15 films. So this year we're producing 15 films and we're filming 9 shows. And we film the 9 shows with 4 cameras, and that goes out onto the lawn screen. I mix that live. I'm directing those cameras downstairs. And then
if you were to go backstage at the GRFA, you would find Nell in what is a very small room with a headset on, managing the shot that people from the lawn are enjoying on some of our screens.
Yes.
Which is new in the last, like, 5 years.
5 years, yeah. I'm no longer in, like, a closet. Now I'm in kind of
upgraded, like a
bigger room.
The cable room you used to be
cable,
in. Like.
Yeah, I was in. Supposedly, I just heard I'm in Damien's old office right now. So that there's good energy.
That is a big upgrade, yes.
Yeah. So mainly what we're doing, I have a team of Ashley's here, and, well, my child's there but in the back, and our friend Kelsey. But Ashley, Lauren, and Sonia are all here. So there's, and then we have someone else that's local that's helping us. So I'm managing all of them. So mainly, kind of like Christopher, I actually wake up very early here. I love that we have a gym at Manor Vale. I try to get myself to sweat. I'm staring at all these dancers all day, and I have that in my body as well. So I'm getting myself moving. And then I'm making sure that everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing on the team. So we have a little G-chat, and I'm like, okay, Ashley, you're filming this. Lauren, you're going to edit this. I'm doing this. Sonia's going to upload the show or, you know, deal with the show that we did the night before and make sure that all our audio is good and we've exported the show and everything and we've uploaded it to Vimeo. So I'm probably giving some lingo right now, but maybe you're following.
I think people are actually, even though some of the verbiage is technical, everyone having a smartphone and becoming a little bit more acquainted and what happens to your phone when you shoot video for a really long time, how quickly your phone fills up, has anyone experienced that? The amount of management that happens across this team because we are shooting in such high quality footage is just like, it's really astonishing to look at how well coordinated both of you are in terms of managing what is an astounding amount of digital memory that takes up a lot of space on a device.
Yeah, we do, right. We purchase, if this sounds like anything, we have 2 12 terabyte drives and we've already almost filled them all up. And in fact, yesterday Lauren was like, no, I'm nervous. You know, we're almost filled up and we still have another show to film tonight. And so mainly we're making sure that everyone knows where they're filming. So we're filming it really depends on what we're producing. So like this year we're producing a video like specifically that we've had to shoot the most for is called The Hive. And it's Damien's idea of showing everyone these 9, well actually there might be even more, but 9 to 10 to 11 new works that are going to be performed tonight and with 9 choreographers. And so we want to make sure we touch all those rehearsals. And we film them, we mic them, we might do short little interviews. And so that's what we're doing during the day. At the same time, perhaps we've filmed, let's say, international evenings the night before, and like Kate was saying, we are going to do a sizzle for that. And a sizzle is just like a bunch of the pieces put together. So Lauren, our editor, she will like look at the video and she'll pull out some really beautiful moments. And she'll put that all together into like a 4-minute video with all the graphics. And she'll send that off. So then we'll send that off to Damien and Kate and Kristen. They'll take a look at it. They'll give us changes. So Lauren's working on that throughout the day while Sonia's exporting the show, while Ashley and I are filming. and we're interviewing people. And then we get ready for the show. And then we get to the theater around 5:30. We make sure all 4 of our cameras are set up. We check everything. We make sure we can see everything. We make sure the screen is turned on. We troubleshoot anything we need to. And then we film the show. We go back. We manage all that media, put it into the computer, run back to the amphitheater to get some dinner, then go, and maybe we all jump in the hot tub.
Like, and then the next day it repeats again.
And then we repeat again. And a lot of it, the thing I really have continue to love about the work is like working so closely with you, Damien, and Kristen. And I love that Damien is so in it with us. You know, it's like you would think that he's just too busy to look at these videos, but he has really, number one, he's taught me to work really fast and quick. He is a fast worker, as you all can imagine how much goes on at this festival. And he's also very of quality. So I feel like we are just really, my job is to just keep up the quality of what we produce and what we make. And Damien and I really, I feel like we continue to like work on that together and make sure that we're keeping up that quality. So I think it's really fun. So throughout the day, we're texting with Damien and making sure that, you know, he's happy with everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a lot of text chains going. I frequently get very confused about who I'm talking
true.
To.
I think we need to adjust that.
Chris, I wanted to ask you, I feel like photography is one of the most challenging forms to bring to a live performance because the moments are so fleeting. And I was wondering, what is your preparation? How do you approach a live performance so that you really feel like you're getting those moments that are sort of iconic within a particular piece that is, you know, very famous or a classic, as well as things that are world premieres that folks have really never seen before.
Right, the pressure is on tonight, right? We have all these world premieres, some of which I have seen some of the making of, some of, like Justin Peck's piece, I haven't been in any of his rehearsals, so I don't know what that's gonna look like at all. I, to be honest with you, I don't like when choreographers give me notes ahead of time or, you know, oh, there's this moment of da-da-da-da, because it gets me, like, kind of nervous and, like, thinking that that's the moment. I mean, I had a show one time where they talked about this, like, gun moment, and all I could think about through the whole piece was, when is this gun going to happen? And I missed so many other things because I was waiting for the gun, and it ended up being, like, this not moment thing, you know, that was just it. So I like to just really rely on my African drumming training and like hone in on the music, listen to the music and follow the dancer. Like with the experience that I have now, like you can sort of like feel the dancer like getting ready for like a leap or a something. And if you're listening to the music, especially with the classical ballet and things that are, you know, on the music, can really kind of hone in on what those moments really like might be.
Did you find that that was a steep learning curve? Because, you know, as a student of dance and then a dancer myself, I have been perhaps, we'll call it a victim of photographers who were less familiar with timing. How long does it take to learn that? Did you find yourself from your musical background really like finding yourself already very comfortable in the timing of classical dance or other types of dance, or was it something that you really had to focus on and develop and practice?
The timing, I feel like I had a natural knack for, and over time has gotten sharper and sharper. And also my camera is really awesome, and I can like really like grab it from my hip. I can like, you know, grab it from my hip and just, you know, bang, kind of, when I feel something coming, if I'm not already, like, that's usually like in a rehearsal. And then kind of nail it, you know, the timing of it. The thing that has taken me longer and has more of a learning curve was like, what are the, picking the photos that the dancers are going to really love, you know, because like, I'll get this like really great quote unquote photo, and they look at it and they're like, ooh, my foot, or ooh, my this, or ooh, you know. And they'll kill the photo because of that. And over time, I've learned more and more and more what is something that they are going to love. And that's why like people like Aaron Baiano and Rosalie O'Connor and some of these incredible photographers with a ballet and dance background probably had those. They knew from when they got started like what a dancer would like. And for me, I had to really kind of like learn that.
Nell, you were talking about being in Missouri and being like, I'm the only one who's combining dance and video, and then coming to the pillow and realizing there's this ecosystem. Did you have a similar learning curve as well in those sort of like more formative years? And, you know, what was that like for you to develop?
You mean like catching the moments and things like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the huge difference, obviously, between photography and video is that I keep recording.
You get all of the moments.
Yeah, and it's funny. Yeah, I get all of the moments. But, you know, when you have a wide camera capturing the full stage and then you have a close camera, you really do have to be on those moments. Yeah, I mean, I think anything's always a learning curve. I say to, like, all my interns or people that, you know, I've collaborated with and worked with that it just takes practice. It's just like, I mean, I've shot over thousands of shows probably at this point, you know, so it just takes a lot of practice of just knowing that timing. And I think the thing that's interesting that I've actually really noticed that now is like my, I guess my next step to kind of understanding choreography is I can really tell there's choreographers that have really choreographed for the camera, and maybe they don't realize it, or maybe they do realize it, but like Justin Peck, for example, I feel like I can always get his moments because I feel like he just, the way he moves the dancers on the stage, I feel like I'm never going to lose anyone. So I don't know if I had a learning curve because I was so in dance. I think it might have just been just continuing to practice.
Can I say one more thing about that?
Yeah.
I think for, I don't want to say it's easy to like, get the moments, but I have experience and a knack for it, so like I feel like I'm like pretty good at it. I think the tougher thing is sometimes choosing which moments to like to deliver, because I am delivering like selects, you know, if I you know, and thinking specifically And kudos to my assistant in Atlanta, Chanel Resto. She's a former dancer as well, and she's a photographer. So she helps me to pick some of those really exciting dynamic moments. But there was, you know, the other night, I don't know who saw Sarah Mern's Solo. I think the piece is called Solo,
right?
By Justin Peck. And so when I was picking the photos to deliver, I was trying to decide, like, is a beautiful arabesque like the moment, or is that emotional like sort of look on her face and like, you know, tension in her body more like the moment in terms of like a photograph? I mean, here she is, this incredible principal dancer from New York City Ballet. Like, do we want to show her full like extension? Is that the photo? I got that. Or is it the one where she's again cringing, shrinking, you know? So those
really emoting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which might not be in like a technical position at
exactly
the same time.
Yeah, but yeah. Is it the signature essence spirit, you know, of the piece, you know? So that's part of the making those selections as well.
Yeah, and actually, so maybe that's more what you're talking about also, because when we're choosing, so maybe when I'm filming the live performance, like what I was just talking about, then you're making sure you're following those right moments. But then there's the choosing of like the moments for the sizzle or for a promo or for a short film or something like that. And I feel like that just continues to take practice. We're like scrubbing through the video because we have so much. I mean, you have a lot of photos to look through, so you're like going through the photos. We're scrubbing through the video, trying to find that moment. And I feel like we have the same thing. It's like, you know, is it that in Don Q, is it the pirouette, or is it like them, you know, being together?
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I guess my question is, when you're presenting your work and you think about people who are either here in person or online consuming your content, what do you think is something that the casual viewer might not realize has gone into that, that is a huge component of what you've produced? Chris, do you want to?
That's a tough question. I think one of the things I really focus on is speed of delivery, because, you know, something that happened 2 days ago is kind of old news. You know, people are looking at what happened yesterday. And then tomorrow they're looking, you know, I don't know, the casual viewer, we scroll fast past photos so fast. I mean, I heard like you consume a photo in like a 20,000th of a second or something, and then you're on to the next one. So I don't know. The quicker I can put great photos in people's hands who can use them is something that I really work on all the time.
And you do a fantastic job at it. I can vouch.
Thanks.
Mel, how about you? What do you think is something that someone might not fully realize is sort of on display behind your videos?
I would say like the blood, sweat, and tears that we all go through.
Can I answer that for Nell? Nell has an incredible musicality in the films that she makes. And that's something that I don't think you realize. Like when you watch a film and you forget that you're watching a film, there's some magic to it. And Nell just has this incredible, she learned that as a technical idea like many years ago and has continued to like hone that as one of the basics, fundamentals of making a film. I mean, they're dancing to music. She's making her films to music.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that people, especially when it's done really well, you never know that it's there.
Yeah, and I think that's a tricky thing. I mean, I think that it's like, yeah, you don't really know. You're like, oh, that looks beautiful. And you don't really know maybe the work that's behind that. I mean, I know you could say that probably about everything. Or you don't really know that that looks good until you see something really bad. And mm-hmm. and like
yeah.
you see,
yeah.
like all of a sudden, like I've had many experiences where people, you know, so many of my clients have said, oh, I had, you know, the person didn't press record, or they didn't know what to film, or
that
you know,
just made me feel like I was falling down an elevator shaft.
No,
forgot to press record.
Battery ran out of power. Didn't get our
show.
Footage for 8 months. Like
yeah. There's a lot of
Horror stories.
There's horror stories, but I would say the musicality. I would just say the thought behind it. Like, you know, Lauren and Ashley, like our masters, along with. You know, we've all been working together for such a long time. We've all been putting so much work into this. And so I think what people don't see is the way we put two shots together. I mean, you'll watch the sizzles, and it's like the way that the music goes from this piece to the next piece. So, and how it feels seamless. I mean, that's our job, like to make it feel seamless. And I think it's really a good point. I think about this all the time because when I, as an editor, like I'll be sitting with someone, or even I'll be sitting with myself, and I will adjust something by like one frame. So there's like, we film sometimes 23.98 frames per second, or sometimes 29.97 frames per second. So if you think I move something one frame, and sometimes that can make the biggest difference to what you're looking at. So I think that's what, you know, but what people don't see. But at the same time, like, I think we want them to just. We don't want them to think about that.
Yeah, I agree with you in the sense that it's not really on display, but when we're currently working on a mix of the international evenings that happen on Saturday, it's 16 different clips, and certainly when I work with less experienced videographers or students during the year, putting together 16 different clips really feels like someone who does not know how to drive a stick shift car. Like, it's like like every... change is abrupt. Every change mm-hmm. feels sudden. Mm-hmm. And so to be here with, I feel spoiled during the summer because I'm just like, that looks great. Everything's great. It's like, it feels like we're all of a sudden just like smoothly transitioning from one thing to the other. Or you'll say, every single transition feels good except for this one. And I'm wondering what you think.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a great collaboration. I'll never forget, just when you say that, just going back, I'll never forget my first year here was 2011. As you all can imagine, when Damien asked me to, you know, I got the call for Damien to ask me to come here, I was like about to fall on the floor and die and go to heaven. But then in 2011, it was just Lauren and I here. We were just filming on two cameras, and I'll never forget the first day. We had to deliver the edit the next day, so it was very fast. And I like walked over and showed Damien the edit, and I was just like, and then he's like, I like it. And you know, so but
all these high pressure moments where it's like, oh, that's fine, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But he's really helped with those moments too. I mean, I really feel like I have to give major kudos to him of just continuing to trust and groom us on making those decisions fast, like Christopher said, and also just being very thoughtful about how we string everything together.
Yeah. I agree. Chris, wondering if you could talk a little bit about what your favorite part of being at the festival is.
My favorite part of being at the festival is really watching how excited the dancers are to be together. I mean, that just like makes me want to cry every time. Here are all these incredible stars that are so excited to be together and so excited to create together. And there's just such fellowship and camaraderie and excitement amongst them. That really gets me. That's my most favorite part of all of it. And seeing all of these incredible artists creating things together in such a warm, friendly, collaborative, supportive environment. People are very kind to each other. All of that is fabulous. But from a photography perspective, like, I love being able to work one-on-one and create portraits that that are reflective of the environment, you know. So, you know, when you see, and I get to work and collaborate with these beautiful artists. Like yesterday, the beginning of the festival, I took Aji Sissoko to this aspen grove. And, you know, here she is with these legs that seem to just be like 12 feet long, you know, and just so gorgeous. And with these beautiful white trunk, you know, aspen trees, and in this far, and she just got excited, and she just sort of like took to it, and like, you know, there goes one leg, and there goes this, and there goes that, and to be able to feel like I can bring my voice to it, you know, and to have the photograph be reflective of the essence of the dancer, the artist as a dancer, and also to evoke the feeling of being in Vail. So it has, you know, so when you see that picture, it feels good, because I'm working for the marketing department, so to be able to, you know, use those pictures for marketing. And then also have that feeling that I'm bringing my voice to it too. Like that's what excites me from a photographic perspective.
I mean, you really do pull together so many things, because sometimes I feel badly just being like, okay, Chris, here's what we'd like. We'd like this person somewhere that's very iconically Vail, and also like pointed feet in some sort of costume that feels like one of the pieces of rep that we're doing, but also is like, come to the Vail Dance Festival. And you will only see this here. And it's just, there are a lot of things that are happening inside of any individual portrait that you're shooting. So.
Add on top of that, like, everyone's schedule is super busy. They've gone from rehearsal to rehearsal. They're really tired. You know, the sun is really hot. You know, they've got a show tonight. Like, there's a lot of other factors that are challenges that are incorporated into those photos as well.
I think, you know, when we're in our sort of, like, non-Vail lives at sea level... A photo shoot can last for hours, and you will not get a photo that looks like one of your photos. And these photo shoots sometimes are like 15, 20, 30 minutes.
Yes.
It's really astonishing.
Sometimes shorter than that. Yes. But sometimes, like, Aji really gave me a lot of time, you know. And Chun yesterday morning, Chun, you know, I had text with him before the festival, and I was like, hey, I'm excited. I had normally met him, but I hadn't really worked with him. And I said, hey, you know, maybe we'll get a chance to make a portrait. If, you know, I hope you're open to it. Like, bring some fun clothes to work, you know, work in. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And then when we saw each other, he said, let's do it. And then the festival goes by so fast. It takes a couple of days for people to kind of, myself included, acclimate, get the schedule going, da-da-da-da-da. Next thing you know, 2 days left, you know? And so he DM'd me on Instagram a couple of days ago and said, hey, you know, can we still do this? I said, yeah, of course. And he says, are you a morning person? And I said, well, yes, I get up pretty early in the morning. And he wanted to do a sunrise shoot.
That was his idea?
That was his idea. That was his
idea.
I did
not see that coming.
I would not ask. I wouldn't put that demand on people. You know, I never even made that suggestion. But it was his idea, and so we started watching what time the sun kind of comes up and what time it comes over the mountain. Anyway, so we decided to meet at 6:30 yesterday morning. It's cold. The sun hadn't yet come over the horizon, and I took him to a spot that hadn't been at sunrise, but had been a couple other times during the day. And yeah, so, and he gave me 2 hours. Like, I didn't realize it was going to be 2 hours, but next thing you know, I got home at 8:30, and Nell's like, what have you been doing? Like,
where are you?
Only in Vail do you wake, like, you know, you wake up and the person that you're rooming with is just like vanished for hours.
Yeah,
but it was like we could have made photos quickly. You know, the artist always brings an idea. I always bring a couple of ideas. I have pre-scouted, so I know, you know, I have some ideas about the location and stuff. And I try to use people's time as efficiently as possible. I think that comes from my wedding background, because, you know, we have a few moments to make photos, and sometimes couples, you know, we've got to do the whole family during cocktail hour and da-da-da-da-da. So, like, I work very fast.
Mel, how about you? What do you look forward to most shooting the festival?
Well, I look forward to this festival all year long.
Me too.
This is like, Ashley's shaking her head too. This is like, this is my 13th year. I don't know if you know that, but, both of us. And I love working with artists. Like, I just really enjoy how open they are, especially at this festival. Like, there just is a vibe that Damien has created that everyone is just so willing. And, like, even with everyone's huge schedule, it's like they're just still so willing. So like yesterday, Ashley and I interviewed Little Buck and Devon about their new piece that's going to be on the Now premieres tonight. And they're just so, like, we're texting together, and they're just like, sure, where do you want to meet? Yeah, that sounds great, sure, oh, we could do it then. And we ended up doing it on a chairlift, side note. That was really fun. That was Ashley's dream, is to be on a chair, like, have an interview on a chairlift. It was not moving. It was okay. Still. But I've actually always wanted to do an interview on the gondola, too. Moving.
You do like to work fast. Okay.
Yeah, I do. But anyway, I would just say it's just being with the artists. It's like yesterday, I'm backstage a lot because I'm going down to where I'm mixing from. And so I see them a lot, and we're in rehearsals with them a lot. And we just, you know, I'm chatting with Calvin Royal III the other day, you know, and we're just like talking about whatever. And just, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a magical place.
My favorite part.
I think coming here year after year, one of the things that has impacted me so deeply that I take into the other jobs that I do is to say only yes and no but. So like, no, but I could do this, right? Mm. Like, come to the table if someone asks you for something. Even if it's impossible, try to find something that's close to what they're trying to ask you to do, and so much of that comes from the work that the three of us do together.
I would say 100%.
Yeah, like we are trying to be in a million different places at the same time. We're trying to capture all of the moments of the festival, and it can be challenging, I think.
There is such a willingness. Like, I mean, even I'm emailing with Damien this morning, and he's like, could you live stream the performance at the intermission? Like, we're live streaming tonight.
We are live streaming tonight.
Tonight we're live streaming.
I don't know
please
that this episode will go out that quickly.
Right.
It's going to be up for at least a week, everyone who's listening to this right now.
Yeah. But Damien's like, we were talking about what music we should have during intermission, because the music that you all hear at the show is popular music. So we were going to use some different music for the live stream audience. And then he's like, do you think you could we just live stream the intermission, like when they're playing on that little stage, right, near the concessions? And it's like what you just said, Kate. I was like, there was no but or yes and. There was like, let me find out.
Yeah.
And then there will be maybe a no, but we could do this. Yeah. But I'm trying to make it happen.
It's always just like trying to make it work and pivoting and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Last questions before we open it up to the audience to ask anything is, what is going to happen in your professional lives between now and the 2024 festival? Anything coming up on your calendars?
Oh my goodness. Well, I just continue to do whatever comes to us. We're doing... every year we do a live stream at Lincoln Center for 9/11, for the Table of Silence with the Bugluzzi Dance Theater. So that is upon us. I'm going to Jacob's Pillow next. We're finishing out our season there. We still have 2 weeks after this week of Jacob's Pillow. And then continuing, we're making a few films with some dance companies in the fall, and then just continuing to see what is on the horizon and what continues to come to us. And it feels actually like a very busy fall. So, but we'll be counting down the days.
Chris, how about you?
We leave here and go straight back to the Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival. And Martha Graham will be there. So all the dancers that I didn't get a chance to make portraits with here in Vail last week, they're already reaching out to me. Hopefully we can work together next week in Jacob's Pillow. So that's exciting. And I have weddings every weekend from September till Thanksgiving. So I'll be doing a lot of weddings, and
that
hopefully
that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I'm really lucky that I love doing it, and I'm lucky, that I love it. So that's good. And then, you know, maybe Fall for Dance. Sometimes they call me to shoot Fall for Dance.
We are filming every single show. It's the 20th anniversary of Fall for Dance. So the New York Public Library, we film for them. And so, yes, Christopher, we are going to be involved in that. A lot of, I think there's like 4 shows. Yeah.
We have people in our comments section responding to some of the pieces that have been made in Vail and hoping that they show up in Fall for Dance. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I want to open it up to the audience.
Christopher, you talked about pulling out your camera from your hip during rehearsals, and I'm wondering, when I'm doing a video of something I like, and then I say, put down your camera and enjoy it as the whole thing, you're not experiencing it the same way. Do you find you like at rehearsals to watch it as a viewer might before you focus in with your camera, or are you focusing in with your camera from the start?
I'm really focusing with my camera from the start, and it brings up an interesting point. Like, oftentimes, like, Nell and I will both be shooting a show, say, at the Joyce Theater in New York City, and they'll send me on Tuesday afternoon to shoot the dress rehearsal, and I'll go and I'll shoot the dress rehearsal, and I'm looking at it through my lens, and I'm trying to make a picture, and I'll come home, and Nell will be like, how was the show? And I'm like, I liked it. And then
he's
she'll,
like, I'm not sure I watched it.
And she'll watch the live show that night or the next night before she films it, and she'll say, that was amazing. That was so wonderful. It's a totally different experience. It's a totally different. I really love the experience of photographing, so I'm happy to have that, but it's a completely different experience to sit and watch a show and you know, with your eyes and with your peripheral vision and listening to the music and listening, seeing the whole stage and watching the, you know, the arc of everything. So it's a different experience.
Nell, you used the word documentation, and mm-hmm. I wanted to focus on that for a moment because Balanchine, of course, famously talks about dance as ephemeral. It's gone here, it's gone, and whatever. But for those of us who didn't have the opportunity to see something, we wish it weren't gone.
Right.
And I think, you know, you can look on YouTube now and find things from the history of dance that was photographed by accident. It's crappy, it's fuzzy, it only shows a little partial something of something. But to have that is important.
Yeah.
And I've heard Damien talk here about, well, we've reconstructed this piece that was lost from rehearsal videos that New York City Ballet has, and I'm sure that none of that looks like the product that you put out, which is so wonderful. Do you think about, and is it part of your function besides the marketing and making the sizzle reels, mm-hmm. to actually try to document mm-hmm. some of the pieces which happen here, which may get to happen again someplace, only if there is something to work from.
Yeah.
So is there any effort to try to record sort of in mm-hmm. the round what's happening for an archive for the future?
For sure. I mean, my practice is always to have what we'll call it a wide camera. When I'm just filming with one camera, I call it wide as the action, you know. So I would say we always have that wide camera, and then we'll have a closed camera, and then say we have the side camera that's a third camera or a fourth camera, depending on, you know, here we have four cameras. But that wide camera is priceless for that very reason. So, and I feel like Damien throughout the year will ask me for it, and what we do for them, everyone in Vail, is the 9 shows that we film, we put on Vimeo. For their archive, their Vimeo archive, the wide camera, and then the mix. We call it the mix of the show, of the all four cameras. So when, and I mean, Damien actually just asked me this for even older shows. He said, I think we didn't have them up on Vimeo because it was like DVD era, like when I first started here. And so then I had to go back into my archive and find that wide camera and upload that to him. To Vimeo, because I think he was recreating one of the works. So yes, and I do that for my clients in New York. Like I that wide camera is, we always say, is the most important camera. Yeah,
I would go ahead.
I want to add 2 things to that, in that Nell Shelby Productions, like there's a person on every camera. Like Nell never does a robot camera to, like, you know, set up a camera in the back of the room and turn it on. Doesn't do that. And also, all of Nell's people are former dancers and have long been training with Nell directly for the, you know, the sort of the NSP way to capture, to be sure. But one other piece was that Nell's dream was to be a dancer on a cruise ship.
I didn't know that.
She could not make the live audition. And they said, no problem, send a tape, back when they had tapes. Nell says, great, I have a tape. The tape was so bad. It was this wide, wide shot. I'm getting chills thinking about it. And Nell was this tiny little white spot in the middle of the thing. What was so bad, She cried and could not send it in. And she, Nell has dedicated her life so that artists never have that problem again.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true. Yeah, I was actually on that, if just as a side note, I was singing Cabaret on that in a pink sparkly dress, and nobody knows.
We buried the video in the bad place.
Or it just looked like a little ant on the screen.
I do think, so one of the things that a lot of people do is that we privately do host archival footage. And so when you see something where a lot of rehearsal work has happened and a lot of coaching has happened, and then maybe a new cast needs to do it in 2 years, 3 years, next year, one of the first things that often gets sent to a new dancer is, here is the video, and we start to learn the steps from that video. Mm-hmm. So Nell is a huge part of there being a smooth transition into thinking about programming for the next festival.
Yeah, for sure. And it is like a skill, even just with that wide camera, like what you were saying, the video that you see on the online or wherever. You know, there's just so many things that you have to, like, be aware of, like the exposure, you know, so if like, those that you saw, maybe they weren't looking at the exposure, so everyone just looks like a white blob, right? And then you can't really see the choreography. So it all continues to be very important. That really is, like I said before, the core, like, of the work that I do and I've always done.
Any other questions?
So by the next day, Lauren Lovett had posted it, her fall onto Instagram.
Right.
And I assumed it was your video.
Mm-mm. No.
It was not.
No.
No. It was one of the ballroom dancers backstage.
Yeah, shooting it.
Yeah,
backstage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they filmed her backstage. I think that's
Denise.
What happened.
Denise.
Yeah.
Dennis.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
we did capture it though.
Yeah. I mean,
in situations like that, it's always up to the dancer.
Ask for cuts out of things. From time to time, say, give me a
For sure. Yeah, no, for sure. I can't remember what I was just working on. Yeah, all the time, you know.
Oh, all the choreographers tonight will get a short video of their excerpt.
Yeah, they'll get the wide in the mix. But yes, if I was working with those choreographers from tonight and we were going to edit together, there very well could be a moment, oh, you know, that person didn't look as great in that moment. Can we try another angle of the camera? Yeah.
Well, it's probably just as well, because there were some unfortunate reflections in the lens that would not...
Yeah.
It would not have been a good video for you to have shot.
No.
It was shot from a phone by a friend, the one that Lauren posted. Yes.
Sometimes, too, you know, not in this case, but like... Sometimes
I'm going to ask another one, and then you can answer.
I was just going to say, sometimes too, if there's technical issues or a dancer falls or something, they might ask to do a reshoot. You know, like if especially like say the Joyce Theater or whatever. Like there's multiple shows. You know, can we shoot another night to kind of get it? So maybe the lighting was off, or the blackout came too soon, or something.
I dread that. There's always like a night. Like there's always the like I don't know. Choreographers for a while had people that I would work with would have like this thing about Friday nights. Don't film on a Friday night. I my dancers aren't as great on a Friday night. Okay. And but I was like, shouldn't they be good all the time? Like that's kind of
I think so sometimes there are opening night jitters.
Last day, so I get to do two in a row. This young man is gonna grow up and be encouraged to follow his own passion and do his own thing. But I have this vision of Benjamin, Rebecca's son, interviewing him 30 years from now and him saying, well, the way I got started was when I was little, my dad made me sit on the floor and shoot video instead of just watching. Is he getting big training?
Actually, yesterday we were on a hike and Jack said again, Mom, I might take over your business. So I guess, yeah, he definitely, during COVID, he helped Christopher with audio and some things, and he is definitely, he's grown up here at the festival. I was actually pregnant with him and here, and Jack has grown up, Gracie has grown up at the festival, so for sure. We'll see what happens.
So the gentleman's referring to our 9-year-old son, Jack, who is sitting here in the front row and getting some footage of us for our Instagram posts later today. So thanks, Jack. But the, both of our kids, Gracie and Jack, have been exposed to, you know, great art from the womb and all, you know, all year long. I mean, we go to see shows and, you know, we go to backstage after the show because we know people on Broadway and this and that, and our kids think that that's what normal. Everybody does. You know, it's, you know, there we were. We went to the Nutcracker, and I had shot one of the dancers, actually artistic director, John Stafford, and Brittany, you know, I shot their wedding. And so when we went to the Nutcracker, I text Brittany. I was like, hey, you know, can we say hi after the show? Meaning, like, can we come backstage? And we brought Gracie's friend, Valentina, and her mom, and there we were after the show standing on stage. You know, the curtain had gone back up, and there we were, and we're talking with the Sugar Plum and the Dewdrop, and, you know, and I looked at Gracie's friend, Valentina's mom, and I said, isn't Valentina loving this? And the mom looked at me. She's like, oh, my God, I've never been on stage. This is amazing. You know, like, so our kids are lucky that they get to grow up around all this stuff, and they're both beautiful. Jax is a wonderful musical theater budding star, and Gracie is a writes music and plays the guitar, and we're very proud parents.
Sarah, are you going to ask the final question of live?
Well, knowing that Christopher is still an active wedding photographer, I have to ask you to share your biggest wedding disaster experience. Not necessarily yours, but a wedding that had a disastrous experience.
It's pretty sad. I don't think I want to share that.
He's going to plead the fifth.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, something funny.
Something funny.
That everyone felt totally fine about and could laugh at in the moment.
Or laugh at afterwards.
Oh, you know what? Is it the garbage can one?
Oh,
about
God.
Taking the photos in front
traumatizing.
Of the
I'll tell you, I'll tell you, one of my lucky disaster / worked out okay moments was I got a couple took me to Jamaica, and then I took my family to Jamaica to shoot this wedding. It was like it was basically a 3-day wedding. While I was there, I got pink eye in my right eye, which is the eye that I look through the lens with. And I literally had this like fog across my eye, and I couldn't really see anything.
Nothing that you would need to take photos.
So, right? I mean, you know, thank God for autofocus, you know, and things really worked out okay. But man, I was in trouble. And you can't call for backup. I mean, I was in Jamaica, you know, like, what was I going to do? So,
Nell, what's something funny that you've caught on camera?
Oh, well, maybe Lauren Lovett falling. No, I'm just kidding. That actually was not funny. I felt like she recovered so incredibly well. If you all saw that, I mean, that and had a beautiful post on Instagram. I thought that actually was really lovely. I don't know. We just have bloopers all the time. I mean, life is bloopers. So when you have, and especially when you have a video camera on, you know, it's a little different than photography again. You know, you're recording all the time. So I cannot think of a moment right now.
It's okay.
But there has been moments, for sure.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us for this final Conversations on Dance. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And here we go. We are entering our final performance of the 2023 Vail Dance Festival tonight at 7:30 Mountain. It will be live streamed on YouTube, 9:30 Eastern. It will be up for a week. Now premieres, 9 choreographers, 9 new works, unless there's a late breaking change that I don't know about. And we're just so excited. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Kate.
Thank you.
Conversations on Dance is part of the Acast Creator Network. For more information, visit conversationsondancepod.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.